The title for this talk is Call to Holiness and Wholeness. In the fifth chapter of St. Matthew's Gospel, verse 48, our Lord Jesus tells us that we must be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. The Greek word that is translated as perfect is that of teleios, T-E-L-E-I-O-S. A more correct translation of teleios is wholeness. Therefore, we are told here in the Gospel that we must be whole, W-H-O-L-E, as our Heavenly Father is whole. Many years ago, Father Joseph Goldbrunner wrote a book entitled Holiness is Wholeness. And that is the title for this talk. Leon Blois, the well-known French writer, in his work, The Woman Who Was Poor, makes the profound statement, there is only one tragedy, and that is not to become a saint. The purpose of our existence on earth can be summed up as that, to be a saint, or if you wish, to be a whole person, a holy person, a mature person. We do this by trying to discern what is the particular destiny that God had in mind for us when He created us. What particular task, what particular work, what particular ministry that we have been called to carry out. We call this vocation, from the Latin word vocare, meaning to call. This call to holiness, to wholeness, is especially necessary in our time. We live in extremely serious times. The situation of world peace is such that, as some people have said, we are just 5 minutes or 10 minutes away from midnight. This is the approximate amount of time it would be required, either for the leaders of our country or the leaders of Russia, to make the decision to bring about a nuclear holocaust. In these serious times, there is this call to wholeness and holiness upon each one of us. A call that is more serious, probably, than has ever existed in the whole history of the world. As a baptized Christian, we have made a commitment to be another Christ, to find our place in the mystical body of Christ, and to carry on the work that Christ began 2,000 years ago. In other words, we are called, each one of us, to be a new incarnation of God upon earth. Just as Jesus 2,000 years ago brought God down to earth and made Him present in human flesh, in a human life, the life of Jesus Christ. We, as baptized followers of Jesus Christ, are now called to carry on that work. Today we need many new incarnations of God in human flesh. And this is what it means to be a saint. Jesus came to earth 2,000 years ago because the world had gotten so full of evil, there was no earthly human way to save it. Today, it would seem that there is even more evil in the world than there was 20 centuries ago. And so we need a new incarnation, a new coming of God to earth. We do not believe, as did the deists, that God is a clockmaker God who makes the world and then allows the world and the human race alone to decide what course it will take. As Christians, we believe that God is the Lord of history, and that God is ready and willing, not only in the past, but in the present and in the future, to intervene, to step into human history, and to change the course of events from what they might be if left to themselves. But in that intervention of God, the Lord of history, there is very clearly a need for a human instrument or human instruments to carry out this intervention of God. This was accomplished 2,000 years ago through Jesus Christ, the God-man. We need today a new incarnation, a new coming of God to earth, a new intervention of God into human history. Now we know that God has a million different ways of doing this. But until he acts otherwise, we can presume that the way God wishes to be incarnate on earth today is through you and me and others like us, through the members of the body of Christ, the church. We are the instruments that God will use to make his presence known, to make his power and his salvation experienced on earth today. But since God will always respect human freedom, we can believe that God will do this only if we give ourselves wholeheartedly over to him and give him the freedom to do whatever he wishes with us. As someone has said it, we are all he has. We are the instruments that God will use to bring about the kingdom of God upon earth, to accomplish the salvation of the human race. In this task of salvation, the more people that answer this call to wholeness and holiness, the more easily, the more quickly, the more perfectly the kingdom of God upon earth will be accomplished. It is very clear from passages of Scripture, God can accomplish this even if a very few persons make this total commitment of their life to doing the will of God upon earth. The prime example of this, I think, is found in the 18th chapter of the book of Genesis, the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. These were two large cities that once existed at the southern end of the Dead Sea in Palestine. It would seem that these two cities had become very wicked, the people very, very sinful. And so as the story is told in the book of Genesis, God and his angels are on their way down to make sure that this particular sinful situation was accurate, and then to bring about the destruction of these cities. And on his way down, God stops to visit with his friend Abraham, who lived up in the high plateau, the highlands around Hebron, south of Jerusalem. And God tells Abraham what he is about. Now Abraham has relatives living in those cities, and so he pleads with God to spare the cities, and is able to elicit a promise from God that if only 10 just people, 10 holy or whole saintly people can be found in those two cities, that God would be willing to spare the whole city for the sake of those 10. And so today, we can be sure that the same principle will follow, that if God can find even a few people in the world today who are totally dedicated to holiness and to wholeness, that God in turn will spare the sinful human race today. And therefore, it is our task, each one of us, to discern the particular ministry, the particular destiny to which each one of us is called, and to try to carry out God's will in our regard as perfectly as possible. If we do this, then we are the saints, the perfect, whole persons that we are called to be. There are many depth psychologists and students of human nature today who make the claim that the average person today makes use of only about 20% of that person's potential for good. In other words, the average person could accomplish 4 times more good than what they now are able or succeed in accomplishing. And even if we should think of ourselves as a bit above average in comparison with most people, the likelihood is that every one of us has at least twice as much potential for good as what we now are accomplishing. Therefore, if we are to carry out this call to wholeness and wholeness, the first task is to discern what is that potential for good that has not yet been accomplished, has not yet been actualized in our life. This means, primarily, to get in touch with our unconscious, or as Carl Jung has called it, to get in touch with our shadow. And by shadow, Jung means that part of our nature that belongs to us, is a part of us, but we are not as yet aware of it. And so the shadow is both good and evil. It certainly includes those faults of ours that we have repressed or that have not yet come to the surface of our consciousness, faults perhaps that other people can recognize in us, but which we deny, of which we are totally ignorant. That would be the negative shadow. But there is also a positive shadow in each one of us, and that is all of that potential to do good, that potential to love, that we have not yet actualized, that we have not yet brought out into the surface of our consciousness and have carried it out. And so self-knowledge, getting to know who we are and what we are capable of doing, is the first step in the journey to wholeness and wholeness. Basically, a whole or holy person is a person who has learned how to love. And in this process of learning to love, we have to deal with 3 different relationships of love. Our love of God, our love of neighbor, and a proper love of self. As the Gospel puts it, quoting from the book of Deuteronomy, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And also, Jesus, again quoting from the book of Leviticus, states, you shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. Actually, in that statement that Jesus uses in the gospel that is taken from the Old Testament, there are two commandments of love, two relationships of love. Love of neighbor, which means love of other people, and then a proper love and respect for ourselves. If we are to actualize the 100% potential for goodness and for holiness in our lives, we must work at these three relationships of love all of our life. We must never be satisfied with the present level of our love of God, our love of neighbor, and our love of self. Each day, we must strive to love God a little more than we loved Him yesterday or the day before. To love our neighbor, and that means all the members of the human race. We're all brothers and sisters of the one family. It means as best we can to love each member of our family, our spouses, our children, our parents, our brothers and sisters, our friends, our neighbors, our co-workers, and of course our enemies, the people that we do not like, or the people that have done injury to us. We are obliged also to grow in love for people on the other side of the world, people of the third world, the starving people of Africa, people who are suffering oppression in various parts of the world. The third relationship, to get to know ourselves, to know the kind of person that God has created and that God wants us to be, and to love that particular creation of God, and to do all we can to bring it to perfection, to wholeness. No matter how far we have progressed in maturity, in wholeness and holiness, there is always much more to be done. We never complete the task of life. It is certainly true that at different periods in our life, we are called to carry out different functions, different tasks. The tasks of old age are quite different from the task of youth, or the task of adolescence are quite different from the task of middle age or of childhood. We need to be open to constant growth, to be open to change. We must never allow ourselves to become too set in our ways. But we must constantly be searching for new insights concerning God, concerning the world, concerning ourselves, concerning others. At the present time, there is so much more we do not know than what we now know. For example, the mystery that we call God would be more than 99% still unknown. We know less than 1% of all the truth that there is to know about God. One way of visualizing this very limited knowledge that we have of God and the things of God is to say that at the present time we have only a keyhole vision of the mystery of God. Try to imagine yourself locked in a house that has no windows, that the only way that you can see outside is through a keyhole. If you think of an old-fashioned lock and key that so that you can see through, and you can imagine yourself putting one eye to that keyhole and looking out of this house and you're able perhaps to see a tree or happen to see a person if they walk by that little keyhole vision. But just think how limited is your knowledge of what is outside and what goes on outside if the only way you had of knowing was by looking through that keyhole. Now that is something of our situation in regards to the mystery of God. We have only a keyhole vision of who God is, which means that we must be open to new revelation. We must be open to new insights concerning God. And we today live in a marvelous age, an age that has uncovered not only many mysteries of nature, but even many new insights into the nature of God and what God wants of us and what we in turn can want and know of one another. This openness to new truth is a very essential part of our growth in wholeness and holiness. Sanctity or wholeness is different for each one of us. Our sanctity, our call to God's will change at different times in our life. This is why we need to keep in constant contact with God each day through prayer, in order to discern what is God's will for us today. Of course, it is not just enough to know what is God's will, but we must make the effort to bring our will into conformity to the will of God. And this is what is called meekness. A meek person is a person who is able to submit his or her will to the will of another person. And so, when we are meek towards God, we are able, day in and day out, to bring our will constantly into conformity to the will of God. But to do this, we must always be open to growth and to change. To be a saint, there is need of a total commitment on our part to God and to the doing of God's will. There is no room for mediocrity, no room for half measures in the pursuit of sanctity. It means to go all out for God and the things of God. The uncertainty of our times and the uncertainty of our life on earth today are actually graces which we can use to help us take more seriously our pursuit of holiness each new day that God provides for us. Since we cannot count on a long future, but we are sure only of the present moment, we will take each new day as a gift from God and resolve to make the most of it. We are never sure that there will be another day of life for us. This present day may very well be our last opportunity to become a saint. And so, we will make the most of the opportunities that God gives us each day to grow in love of God, in love of neighbor, and in love of self. In this process of growing in wholeness and wholeness, we must never allow the fewness of numbers in regards to people who take seriously their commitment to God. We must never allow that to discourage us. In that regard, I can think of a little story from the second grade reader in my one-room schoolhouse in the hills of West Virginia. Was the story of two little raindrops. It seems that there had been a drought throughout the summer. The crops were all drying up, And the farmer had gone out into the field to look at his withered corn. And two little raindrops up in the sky were watching this farmer. And they felt sorry for him. One of them said to the other, "I'm going down." The second raindrop said, "What can you do, one little raindrop, in all of this dryness?" The first raindrop said, "I don't care. I'm going down anyway." And so he left the sky, and on his way down, he managed to land squarely on the tip of the nose of the farmer. Now, if you just put yourself in the place of that farmer who had not had any rain for months and suddenly feels a drop of rain on his nose, of course, his whole face lit up. He looked up into the sky with this great big smile, fully expecting, of course, that that first raindrop was but the introduction of a change of weather. The second raindrop was watching and saw what effect that just one raindrop could have on that person. And so the second raindrop said, "I'm going down too." And a third raindrop also decided to go, and a fourth, and a fifth, and a sixth. And as I remember the story, the farmer nearly drowned before he got back to the house. Each one of us may think of ourselves as just one little raindrop, or if you wish, one little spark of love, one little spark of the fire of divine love here upon earth. But as you have heard the expression, it only takes a spark to get a fire going. And so, as the song goes, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine all over the world. This little spark of love that I have within me, I'm going to use it as best I can to carry out these three relationships of love, of God, of neighbor, and self. And the hope will be that if I will do the best I can, if I will give everything I have in the way of love, that that spark of love will ignite the spark of love in many other people, and that we will indeed experience a new Pentecost, a new incarnation, a new intervention of God into the history of the world, that we will experience something of that kingdom of God that Jesus began 2,000 years ago, and that we pray for each day in the Lord's Prayer. I and you and every one of us has the power to begin that kingdom of God by that spark of love that causes us to go all out in our commitment to God, to love, to holiness, to wholeness, to sanctity."